Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Well, good morning. Welcome to our Christmas program about the big blue tarp. It is blue, isn't it? I guess you can imagine that it's a winter twilight sky, and I guess you'll have to wait to see what it's about. It's to match my shirt. Okay, again, welcome to the service as we gather celebrating the birth of Christ. I invite you to turn in your Mennonite hymnals to number 679, and this will be our call to worship. As you see, this is from Isaiah chapter 9, so this would have been written about Christ about 750 years before his birth. So this is one of the many prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. We'll read this in unison, and I guess think about, you know, as you're reading it, consider the words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. As we anticipate the celebration of Christ's birth, I appreciate these thoughts from John Piper that I'd like to share with you now. The word Advent means coming. In this season of the year, we focus on the meaning of the coming of the Son of God into the world. The spirit of our celebration should be the spirit in which he came, and the spirit of that coming is summed up in Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The coming of Jesus was a search and rescue mission. This is a season for cherishing and worshiping this characteristic of God, that he is a searching and rescuing God, that he is a God on a mission, that he is not aloof or passive or indecisive. He is never in the maintenance mode, coasting or drifting. He is sending, pursuing, searching, saving. That's the meaning of Advent. Jesus came into the world at the first Advent, and every Advent since is a reminder of his continual Advent into more and more lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you had made a way, that from time immemorial you had planned to be here, that you had planned to come, that you had planned to save us. I thank you, Lord, for you were and are the only one worthy to do that work, to cancel the debt of sin that we owe, and to save us from our sins. And today, Lord, we begin the celebration of your coming, your birth, like us, as a child. You, Lord, chose the humblest of settings, an inn in a long ago time, in a very busy world. You chose in obscure fashion to enter the world as a little baby, as a child, and the poorest of children. Help us, Lord, to remember that all the blessings that we cherish, that we accept, that we are grateful for, none of them amounts to this one blessing in this one coming of this one child on this one day. So, Lord, help us to be mindful of the gift that we are given and to be grateful for it. Bless our time together this morning. Bless the rest of the service. Bless each person involved. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
The song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, gives us a little bit of the feel of what the waiting and the hope that the people were feeling as they waited for the newborn king, the coming Messiah. When would he come? And please come. You can turn to number 111. We've been singing this song as a part of our Advent candle lighting without the chorus, but today we can rejoice at last. We will sing verses 4 and 5 with the chorus. Just highlight a couple of the phrases from the earlier verses. And ransom captive Israel. And from verse 2, from depths of hell thy people saved. O come, Emmanuel. Thank you.
Thank you. get your choice of microphone.
As we think of the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus, we might classify Mary's experience as a difficult pregnancy, certainly an unplanned pregnancy from a human's perspective. Our offering this morning is designated for the Ministry of Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services. Today, many expectant mothers face serious challenges, relational problems, financial needs, abuse, homelessness, addiction issues, and more. Sadly, it is estimated that about 18% of pregnancies in Pennsylvania end in abortion. That's more than 30,000 each year. According to the most recent statistics, about 1,500 of these were women who reside in Lancaster, Berks, and Lebanon counties, in our neighborhoods. Our offerings and prayers help enable Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services to support these women facing difficult pregnancies by providing pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, prenatal and parenting education, material assistance, relational counseling, post-abortion counseling, and sexual integrity education.
Thank you, Michelle. Would the ushers come for the offering? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is with grateful hearts that we come to you this morning. Lord, as we lift the offering, help us to remember the good work that it will be used for, the many lives that may be changed by it. I thank you, Lord, for blessing us, and I thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to bless those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Help us, Lord, not to be stingy with the gifts we've been given. We've been given so very much. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us grateful hearts. So, Lord, bless this offering. Bless those that will receive it and the work of Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services. May many more children be born into your kingdom as a result. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Steve said that I should say two things you should never move, the cat's litter box and the penny power jug. Sorry, children, I wasn't trying to I invite my Sunday school class to come behind the blue screen. And those of you that have agreed to be narrators, if you would come over to this side. Sometimes I have these brainstorms, and I don't know if I really do a good job of bringing them to fruition, but they're good in my mind. Maybe I need to have somebody else do the implementing. But I thought it might be interesting this year to do something a little different and do the Christmas story as a shadow play. So this blue screen is, we're not hiding anything behind that. We're going to be doing our motions or our movement behind that. But the blue screen, just wanted to say that this is in honor of Nelson Gaiman and his Spruce Lake Retreat camping strategy, which is the blue, the more blue tarp, the better, I think. So there will be 5 short little scenes in this skit, and in between each of those scenes, we're going to sing a Christmas song, and Michelle or Miranda's going to accompany us. And that would be funny, wouldn't it? Michelle coming up. I don't know how that would go. And so I'm sorry, but there will be some lights on, lights off issues. So if when we turn the shadow screen light off, if we could have the house lights turned on then so that we can see to sing. Okay.
Over 2,000 years ago, in a city called Nazareth, there was a young woman who was named Mary. Mary was promised to marry a man named Joseph, who lived there too.
One day, an angel from God came and talked to Mary. He told Mary that she was going to have a baby, that the baby was to be the Son of God.
Oh, okay, Mary responded, and then the angel left. Now Joseph wasn't sure what to do when he heard that Mary was going to have a baby. So one night while he was sleeping, one night while he was asleep, the angel came to talk to Joseph.
Hey, Joseph, Mary is going to have a baby from God. It's okay for you to marry her and take care of her and the baby. You will name the baby Jesus.
Oh, okay, Joseph responded. And so that's just what he did.
A while later, the emperor in Rome, Caesar Augustus, ordered that everyone had to be counted so they could be taxed.
Everyone go to your own hometown so that I can count you.
So Mary and Joseph went to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem.
There were lots of other people there too. There were so many people, in fact, that there was no room for them in the inn. So they stayed in a stable, which was a place where the animals stayed warm and dry.
There was a cow there. There was a sheep there. There was a chicken there. And Mary and Joseph stayed there also.
While they were there, baby Jesus was born, and Mary took him and wrapped him up warm and laid him in the manger.
Turn to number 10 in your green book. Number 10 in your green book.
That night, there were some shepherds out in the fields watching over their flocks of sheep. And the angels came and talked to the shepherds, and they were terribly afraid.
Don't be afraid. I am bringing you good news. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. He is the Savior for all people. You will find him lying in a manger.
And all of a sudden, there were lots of angels saying, Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then the angels left. And then the angels left.
And when the angels had left, the shepherds went to find the baby Jesus in the manger, just as they had been told. And when they found him, they worshipped him.
If you turn in the Mennonite hymnal, number 127. Mennonite hymnal number 127. We will do all the verses. Not far away from Bethlehem, in a place called Jerusalem, there lived a king named Herod. Herod was an evil man and was not interested in sharing his power over the kingdom with anyone else.
One day, after baby Jesus was born, wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the newly born king of the Jews.
They asked King Herod, where the newly born king was.
So the king asked his advisors and learned that the scripture foretold the new king would be born in the town of Bethlehem. So he said to the wise men,
In Bethlehem, go and find him and let me know where he is, so I can come and worship him too.
So the wise men went and found baby Jesus by following his star. When they found him, they knelt down and worshipped him.
Didn't really want to worship baby Jesus at all. He didn't want anyone to replace him as king. He actually wanted to have baby Jesus killed, but the wise men were warned by God about this. So they decided not to go back to King Herod, but to go home a different way. When the king found out he was tricked, he was really mad.
I am really mad. The wise men tricked me.
So King Herod sent his soldiers to go and kill all the little baby boys.
Go and kill all the little baby boys in Bethlehem who are 2 years old and younger.
But God warned Joseph in a dream.
Get out of there!
And so they did.
And so Joseph and Mary and the little baby Jesus went to Egypt. And there they stayed until evil King Herod died. After King Herod died, the angel told Joseph it was safe to come back because the people who wanted Jesus dead had now died.
You can come back now. It's safe.
Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus came back from Egypt. And when they went to live in the town of Nazareth again, and that's where baby Jesus grew up, God's only son, came from heaven to live here in person and then willingly taken the punishment for our sins when he died on the cross.
And just like the wise men were looking and waiting for Jesus when he was born as a baby, we are waiting today. Jesus has promised to return to earth, this time not as a baby, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Kind of fun watching Kevin bounce back at the sound system trying to figure out which microphone I'm going to go to. Thanks, Kevin. You're doing an awesome job. I believe it was maybe the year that I was expecting Paul, which means that was probably about 23 years ago, that we tried to do the Hallelujah Chorus, and we've been trying to do it ever since then. Not every year, but this year we did decide that we were going to try to sing it. I thought I'd start with a couple of questions, and you can feel free to call out the answers. The Hallelujah Chorus is part of what bigger piece of music? Messiah. And yep, and you notice we call it Handel's Messiah. We'll come to that in a moment. The Messiah is an example of a type of musical composition, sort of like a sacred opera. Called a what?
Oratorio.
Oratorio, good. Who wrote the music of the Messiah, full name? George Frederick Handel. Who wrote the text? You just heard it on the radio. They had a thing on Breakpoint, didn't they? Yeah. And I had read something about it earlier, too. Charles Jenness, which I would not have known the answer to that question either. Chances are you've never heard of him, and you're not alone. Even in his lifetime, Jennings was utterly unknown to most of his contemporaries. Jennings collaborated with Handel on other works, such as, Handel, by the way, did quite a few of the oratorios. Saul was one of them. Israel in Egypt. Belshazzar, whichever way you say that. Were some of his other works, and Jennings collaborated with him on those. As with Messiah, his contributions were anonymous. As a result of his devout Christian faith, so I'm talking now about the person that did the lyrics for the Messiah, Jennings specialized in lyrics based on biblical subjects. He was quite concerned with the emergence of deism within the Church of England, and deism rejected the idea of God's intervention in human affairs. Made me think of the opposite of Emmanuel, God with us, the opposite of that. So the church was at a period where it was rejecting that idea, and it was rejecting inspiration of Scripture. Every word of the lyrics for the entire Messiah is taken directly from Scripture. Jennings selected these words to demonstrate that Scriptures had predicted the coming of the Messiah. In July of 1741, he wrote a friend saying, quote, this was Jennings writing to a friend of his, quote, "Handel says he will do nothing next winter, but I hope I shall persuade him to set another scripture collection I have made for him. I hope he will lay out his whole genius and skill upon it, that the composition may excel all his former compositions as the subject excels every other subject. The subject is Messiah." End quote. A month later, Handel began work on the music and finished it in only 24 days, barely eating as he worked. I have too many papers around here. I have the entire Messiah somewhere. I was going to flip through it. It's a big piece of music. At one point, Handel had tears in his eyes and cried out to his servant, "I did think I did see all heaven before me and the great God himself." He had just finished writing the Hallelujah Chorus. At the end of the manuscript, Handel wrote the initials SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be glory. Messiah was first performed in Dublin in 1742, and a year later, King George II was present at its first performance in London. It is said that the king dozed off. Now, if you've been to the Messiah, it's like 3 hours, so. It is said that the king dozed off, and at the opening of the Hallelujah Chorus, he rose to his feet, thinking it was his cue. Whatever the reason, he stood, and that has been the custom ever since, to stand during the Hallelujah Chorus. More than 100 years later, when the aged Queen Victoria attended a performance of Messiah, royal etiquette allowed her to remain seated, but the queen struggled to her feet as the choir sang, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords," thus acknowledging who her king was. Her desire was that the Lord should return during her lifetime, which he did not, but that was her desire, that God would return, the Lord would return during her lifetime, so she could personally hand over her crown of Great Britain and India to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I invite all of you, whoever is willing to come up, and we're going to, let me say one other thing. My idea this year had been to do it with a recording. I found one recording that had just the piano, and we worked on it a couple weeks at Very Merry Band at worship practice, and took a vote that we do it with the piano. So Darlene had to quick try to practice this, so I hope that I do okay. We'll give it our best shot here. If you are willing to sing, we'll have the bass over on your right in the back, and the soprano in front of them, the tenor on our left, and the alto in front of the tenor. So you'll need to bring your green books with you. Thank you.
Please pay attention. You will be part of the angelic host. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is made known unto us, which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Carols, just one verse of each. I envisioned circling around. Are we willing to try that? Let's see if we can circle around.
Thank you. Thank you.